If you will, bow your heads, pray with me, and pray for me this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. And God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll just help me, God, as I get into your word this morning. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help me to take this scripture and explain it the way that you give it to my heart, God, and how that we should look, God, on this scripture. And I pray, dear Father, Lord, that you'll help us to have receptive hearts. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here this morning that has a spiritual need, maybe a Christian who's struggling, maybe a Christian who has a burden, God, that today will be the day that they will come and give that burden to you, or they'll seek help from you. Maybe there's a Christian here that's walked away from you, that's not where they're supposed to be. God, I pray that you'll help us as we all leave here, that we'll be where we should be with you, that we'll be closer than we were when we came. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that something will be said or done, or just your sweet Holy Spirit will speak to their heart. They'll see their need for a Savior, and God, that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Of course, this week, come studying and come praying and asking God to lead us in a direction with Mother's Day on our mind. So for just a few minutes, it probably won't be before you very long. Hannah, if you will, I want you to go ahead and get He Never Gave Up on your mind. You and whoever else wants to sing with you, except for Scotty. He can't come sing. So, Luke chapter number 1, let's begin reading with verse number 30. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now, I know a lot of times we read this scripture at Christmas time, but I want you to know that this scripture should speak to our heart as Christians each and every time we read it. I don't care if it's Christmas or July or February, whenever you want to read this scripture, the fact that God loved us so much, that one day that he knew they would need to be a supreme sacrifice for our sins, and he allowed an angel to come and to speak to Mary, and he said, and he spoke unto Mary, and the angel spoke and said, "Fear not, Mary, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And he told her that she was going to conceive. We know that Mary was a virgin, so maybe this is a little different than the experiences that you ladies have had as women. But as this angel comes and she tells Mary, I'm sure that Mary was frightened at first. She was afraid that when this angel, even the Bible tells us so, that she was scared. This was something that was kind of, surprising for an angel just to appear to you and tell you all of a sudden that you're going to be a mother. But I believe, and you can read it in the chapter just shortly thereafter, that Mary accepts what the angel came and told her. And I believe from that moment on that Mary was excited about the information that the angel had brought her. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. I know Mary's experience was a little different than maybe yours, but can you remember as a mother this morning when you found out that you were going to have a baby? Now listen, nobody has ever come told me that I was going to have a baby, thank God, and I don't think I could handle it if it was. But I can remember all three of my children, I can remember the excitement in different ways, when I found out that Autumn was going to have a baby. I can remember with Silas, and I'm sure that most of you ladies can remember each and every time with your children, and I even went to Autumn this morning. She was still laying in the bed, and I said, look, I need to confirm this with you to be sure I remember it correctly because I don't want to tell a lie. And Autumn can remember, no problem. But I can remember with Silas that we had a time period that it didn't seem like that we were going to have children. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and finally it seemed like it took forever. I think it was about 9.5 months before we found out that we were going to have Silas. And we prayed and we prayed and prayed for Silas. And I remember when Autumn come and told me that she was pregnant and that we were going to have Silas. We didn't know he was Silas at that time. But when she told me that she was going to have a baby, I remember the feeling that was happening in me. I can't imagine what was happening in her. And I remember that excitement that had happened, and most of you women here have experienced that at some time or the other. Then I can remember when she came and she told me about Addie. Silas and I, we were outside, and for some reason, I guess maybe we'd been to the Dollar Tree or something, and we had bought Silas a little G.I. Joe man. It wasn't G.I. Joe, it was Dollar Tree, so it was like E.I.O. or something or another. It was, but it was a little man, and he had a parachute. And me and Silas was taking that thing and we was throwing it just as high in the air as we could possibly throw it and letting it come float back down. And we've been outside playing, and what I didn't know is that Autumn was in there taking care of some little secret business while I was outside. And when I come in, she said, guess what? I said, what? You know, I was having fun. She said, here, and handed me a pregnancy test. And I went, oh, yeah, okay. And I was excited, but surprised at the same time. It was a great feeling. And then I remember with Maggie, we were at town one night, and Autumn had to kind of remind me of the details of this. And we were walking down one of the aisles, and she reached up, and she bought another pregnancy test. And I said, what's that for? And she looked at me, and I said, oh, man, what in the world? We were really, and it wasn't a bad thing. It's like this. We prayed for Silas. We were surprised by Addie, and we were wowed by Maggie. And it's been that way all their life. But I remember that feeling. And can you imagine what Mary felt like when this angel appeared to her and said, behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. You're going to conceive. You're going to have a baby boy, and his name is going to be Jesus. And we know that this baby was sent to be the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Deliverer for us. Can you imagine the feeling that Mary had? I can't even imagine what she was feeling in her heart. Now, we don't have a whole lot of information about Jesus as a child. We don't have a whole lot of information about how he was raised, but trust me, he was a baby just like every one of ours were babies. He did all the same things that ours did. But the Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 2, sometime when he was about the age of 12, we know that Mary and Joseph was leaving town and they couldn't find Jesus. And as they were they just thought he was with somebody else. You know, I've done that with my kids a few times. I thought they were somebody else, and I've ended up leaving them here instead of, I thought they was with Justin and Jennifer one time, and I think I left Maggie here and had to turn around and come back and get her. Again, wowed by Maggie. But then that's kind of the way it was with Mary and Joseph. As they left, they thought that Jesus was hanging out with somebody else, and come to find out that Jesus was in the temple, and he was actually teaching the teachers in the temple. And that's about all the information that we have about Jesus in his childhood. That's about all that we really know, but trust me, he was a child just like each and every one of ours was. Now let's turn to John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19. We're going to begin reading with verse number 23. And trust me, Mary loved Jesus just like you love your children. Mary probably, she took care of her little baby boy just like we do our baby boys and our baby girls. We do everything that we can for him, and she had the love for him. I believe that she knew his purpose. I believe that she nurtured and cared for him and tried to point him to his purpose. Because, look, his purpose was revealed to her when Mary came and told her what was going to happen. You shall call his name Jesus. And she told him, the angel told Mary the plan. Now, listen, if you're here this morning and you have children, those children have been loaned to you for a purpose. Those children have been given to you for you to nurture and for you to raise and to point them toward a purpose. Don't get me wrong, as a dad, sometimes I lose what the real purpose for my children are. Sometimes I think that the purpose of my children are to play sports. I used to think when Silas was about 8 years old, I just knew that he was going to be a major league pitcher. I don't know how I knew that at 8 years old, but I did. And I stayed really hard on him to drive him for pitching. And he's a good little pitcher, or a good big pitcher now. He's taller than me. But he's a good pitcher, and, you know, sometimes I think back in his life and I say, but wait, God, you didn't give me Silas and Addie and Maggie to point them toward a D1 scholarship. You didn't give me Silas and Addie and Maggie to point them toward being successful in a career one day. All of those things are fine. You didn't give me my children to point them toward a college one day that's going to be able to provide them financial stability as they get older. You gave me my three children to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and to point them towards Jesus Christ. That's what my children are for. That's why he gave them to me. And I can remember with each and every one of mine, I know sometimes we take baby dedications and we take a lot of pictures and it's a special thing. But you know what? When I prayed over my children the day that I dedicated them back to the Lord, and we got to have one of those before long, but when I did that, I was sincerely saying, God, I know that I can't raise my children. I know that I can't point them in the way that they really need to be pointed. God, thank you for allowing them to be in my life. God, help me to do all of those things. But God, these children are yours. You've got to protect them. You've got to help raise them. God, you've got to let me just let you raise them and let me just be here on this earth for them. And I believe that Mary had that purpose in her heart. You know, I can know, as my mom did, and I'm sure that some of yours did, if you had a mom that drug you to church every Sunday, you had a mom that loved you. She knew her purpose was to point you to Jesus Christ. She knew her purpose was to nurture you for later in life. Now look, I'm really on to Silas right now. When I say that, he and I have a lot of discussions. I don't dog Silas a whole lot. Me and him pick and cut up and have a good time. But I'm not dogging him. But he's 15 years old, and before long I'm going to kick him out of my house. And he's got to be able to be, I'm not really going to kick him out of my house, guys. Come on. Stay with me. So he's going to have to be able to be self-sufficient out here in this world. But you know what? I can point him toward an education. I can point him toward a job, a trade. I can point him toward all these other kinds of things. But there is nothing that will allow him to be self-sufficient out in this world more than Jesus Christ. Because when everything else fails, Jesus Christ will never fail him. I had a mom that drug me to church, that took me to church. I've told y'all before, I was in church 9 months before I was born and hadn't missed many Sundays along the way. And as I was in church, I had a mom that would pinch my ear and bust my rear and make sure that I was acting the way that I should be in church. Anybody else had the ear drag? I mean, I'm surprised I got any cartilage left in the top of my ear. That's where mama always got me at. And at the time, I thought, well, my mom is just being mean to me. My mom, she won't let me cut up in church. She won't let me have fun. All these other kids, they're building buildings out of songbooks. Why can't I build buildings out of songbooks? But my mom was wanting me to listen to the Word of God. My mom was wanting me to hear. She was wanting to nurture me and to provide me a purpose later in my life to serve Jesus Christ. And if you had that kind of mom in your life, you have been blessed by God. Hey, I know that some of us, that maybe church was so strict that it wasn't even fun at that point in time. And you look back now and go, well, if we had had church like we have church now, I might would have been more involved. But I want to tell you something. Our parents, we as parents, we're doing the very best that we know how to do to point our kids to Jesus Christ. And we should be thankful that we had parents like that. But let's look right here. In John chapter number 19, verse number 23, as Mary has raised Jesus, and now he's in his 30s. And we look in verse number 23. The Bible says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat without seam woven from top throughout. Now this is the purpose that Jesus Christ had. We know that God loved us so much that he allowed Jesus to come and to give his life on a cross. We know that he used Mary as a vessel to bring him into this world and to raise him and to nurture him and to point him toward the purpose that he had. So now that he's here, we look sometimes and go, well, how awful this was for this to be your purpose. But this was the purpose that Jesus Christ was given. In verse number 24, we're to the cross, and he's there on the cross, and he says, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose shall it be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. As we find that Jesus has made it to his purpose, now that we have seen that Jesus has come and he's going to lay down his life for us, and we know all the terrible things that he went through. We know how they spit on him, how they punched him, how they smacked him and plucked his beard out and drove nails into his hands. We know all of the terrible things that he did. And here we are on the cross. Jesus has made it to his purpose. Now look at verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Mama's always there, ain't she? No matter what's going on in our life, mama is always there. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. We find here that as Mary has raised and nurtured and prepared Jesus for the purpose that he had, that even though the things didn't look good, even though that, can you imagine how her heart felt? Now, we talked about her heart when the angel came and told her that she was going to have Jesus, and how full of joy and peace and comfort and all that she must have been once she accepted what was going to happen. And now she has seen her son go through just completely terrible beating, terrible things before they put him there on the cross. And there is he on the cross. Now imagine her heart. No doubt her heart is burdened and broken. No doubt she is in a place of just, I'm sure on the inside that she had pain that we can't even imagine. That she is crushed and that she is angry. But she's still there. Well, this morning, I don't know about you, but I'm sure there's been times in my life that I've brought that kind of pain to my mother. There may be times in your life when you brought pain that crushed your mom, burdened your mom, made your mom angry, that gave her burdens that she shouldn't be bearing. But aren't you glad that she was still there for you? Look, here Jesus is on the cross. And as he is there on that cross, and as he is going through the terrible torment that he's had, as he is going through the things there that he's going through on the cross, he looks and there still stands his mother. I'm glad this morning that God blessed me with a mother that has been there for me through thick and thin, through the times that I've been kind of lovable and the times that I haven't been kind of lovable. It is amazing not to watch mama's love happen. It is amazing the times, I use Silas a lot, for example, because my two daughters are such angels. They're wonderful. They don't do anything wrong. God forgive me for lying standing right here. But just in the past few weeks, there's been something that come along in our life, and we had to make a little attitude adjustment on Silas. Silas, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have been a pastor's son. It's the only thing I can tell you. We had to make a little attitude adjustment. And now when I make an attitude adjustment, I can actually feel a little bit of anger come to me. I can feel a little bit, and maybe some of it's because my son is 15, and I can feel him kind of swell up toward me a little bit, and he wants to be the man, but no house is big enough for two bulls, so the big bull is going to reign forever. I may not be bigger, but I'm smarter. And I can kind of feel myself getting just a little bit tempered with my son. And I start talking to Autumn, and I say, well, right here's what we need to do. We need to do this, 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 this. And I got about 17 things laid out that I'm going to punish him with. And she looks at me, and she says, Josh, you're going overboard. Josh, that's too much. And I say, no, honey. If we're going to teach him a lesson, we got to teach him a lesson. And I'm fired up. And then, so we go down and we deliver the punishment, whatever the punishment happens to be. And then during the time of that punishment, I'm thinking that we need to be hardcore. I'm talking about peanut butter, jelly, and water is all the boy needs during this time. We need to make him feel this. And mama's in there going, now Silas, you know we love you. And Silas, we just want you to be what God wants you to be. And Silas, I've got you some cookies in there on the counter if you need some cookies. And Silas, we know that you need some new sunglasses, so let us go buy you a pair of new sunglasses. Amen, Mama? Amen. It's something about a mother's love, and I believe that a mother's love is as close to the love of God that you'll ever find. I believe that mother's love is awesome, and I'm so thankful for a mother's love, but I'm more thankful for this. I'm more thankful of the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, that looks at me when I deserve punishment, when I'm not worthy of forgiveness, when I deserve to have the least of the least, that he looks at me and says, yeah, but you're my child. I love you. I know that you've messed up. I know that me and you, that maybe you've bucked up on me a little bit. I know that your attitude towards me as your God and as your Heavenly Father is not right now, but I love you so much that I'm going to pour out love on you, that I'm going to pour out mercy and grace, and I'm going to be there for you. I'm thankful for the love of God that loves me so much that even when I make a total mess, a total wreck out of everything, that he is still there for me no matter what. Kind of like mom. Look, my mom, she took me to church, raised me in church. Can I tell you why that I believe that our mothers want us in church and under the Word of God? They want you to meet a Savior so that there is never separation. Look, I don't get to see my mom a whole lot. We pass and we throw up our hands. hey mom, how you doing? My mom's not very technological savvy, so we might shoot an email every now and again, but as far as a text or a phone call, that hardly ever. Mama's got a cell phone that she never turns on. I don't know what the purpose is. Her phone is in case she needs to call me, not in case I need to call her. And most of the time it's locked up in her trunk of her car. So I don't really talk to mom. I mean, we pass, and I love my mom, and Bruce and some of you that went to church with us at Rock Hill, y'all have seen me get ear pinched and all that kind of stuff through the years. But now looking back, I know that my mom loved me so much that the reason she wanted me to be in God's house and to learn about God is so that one day we'll have eternity to spend together. One day, because of the love of Christ, and because she pointed me to Jesus Christ, because she pointed me to a Savior who gave his life for me, that has that love that has no limits, because she pointed me to that, because of that, that one day we will have eternity together. I will never be separated. And more than that, I will never be separated from the love of God. You know, we talk about hell sometimes. And we talk about the fact that hell is hot, that there is extreme pain, that there's outer darkness, and all of those things are going to be horrible, terrible. But being in a place that there is absolutely no presence of God is going to be just as bad as all of those things put together. To absolutely never, ever feel God again, to never feel God tug, is going to be terrible. Now this morning, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual life. I don't know what's going on in your life, just as you don't know what's going on in mine. But I'm glad that in the Bible, God tells me that he can be my father, and he can be my mother, he can be my brother or my sister. He'll be whatever I need in my life. And here recently, I've needed God just to hold me and to give me just comfort and joy and peace. I've needed him to tell me that everything's going to be okay no matter what happens. Everything's going to be okay. Not sitting around just worried about something, not sitting around just thinking that the most horrible thing in the world is going to happen, but I've needed God just to be there and to give me that love that passes all understanding. And God has been there for me. God has always been there for me. But I'm thankful that we have a God that loves us so much that he will help us in the middle of a time when nobody else knows what's going on in our life. Some of you this morning, I think Alan was talking about it in Sunday school this morning. We come to church, we put on a pretty face. We go to work, we put on a pretty face. We even come home sometimes and to our spouse, we don't let them know what's going on the inside of us. But I'm glad that God always knows what's going on the inside of me, and he's always there for me. One last thing I'm going to leave you with this morning. Look, your mom was nurturing you and preparing you. If she took you to church, your mom was nurturing you and preparing you that you could spend eternity together. But let me lay this down for you. There's going to come a separation day. There's going to come a day, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that wherever mom is, you won't be. You say, well, preacher, I don't know my mom's spiritual condition. I don't know when she left this world. Well, I guarantee you, no matter what, it is not the desire of anybody that you go to hell. The Bible tells us that one day that we're all going to stand before God. One day, there's going to be a book open. This book's called the Book of Life. And when I stand before God after I lay down my life, when I stand before God and there had opportunities to come to know Jesus Christ, and there's going to be a book that's searched. And if my name's not found in that book of life, then I will go to hell. I don't know how to put that pretty. I don't know how to say that to where it don't hurt you feelings. I don't know how to say that to where it don't wrinkle you feathers. But what I'm going to say to you this morning is that if you had a mom that brought you up, that took you to church, that let you know about the love of God and the way that Christ loved you, she wants you to prepare not to go to hell. You say, well, preacher, how do I do that? Well, I remember mom telling me stories. I remember mom reading books to me. I remember all the things that mom used to do. But you know what I remember more than anything? Is that when mom told me that Jesus Christ gave his life for me. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have never come to know Jesus Christ, let me tell you how simple it is. First of all, know that you're a sinner. Know that you do things wrong. Second of all, you got to believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth and gave his life, was crucified on a cross for you, was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. Thirdly, you got to confess and say, Lord, I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. So simple to come to know Jesus Christ. And you say, well, preacher, I still don't know what that has to do with mothers. Well, it was Mother's Day, and we were looking at mothers, but let me tell you something. I don't care what you've ever done against your mama. If you go back to your mama and say, Mama, I'm sorry. See, Silas, he even knows how to play autumn. He can do something so bad or so that aggravates her to no end. But if he just goes back and says, Mama, I love you. I'm so sorry. It's all gone. Just like that. One day she snapped a picture on her phone and it was a text that Silas had sent her. I won't say that what all it said because it might embarrass Silas and I want him to continue to send stuff like that to his mama. But she sent it to me and she said, look what Silas sent me. And I said, what's he done? I said, oh no, what's he done? But you know, the thing of it is he knows that if he just runs to mama and says, Mama, I love you and I'm sorry, mama forgives him just like that. Daddy might hold it for a little while. Mama's over it just like that. You know what? That's the way God is with us. You may be here this morning and you may be saved, but you may not be living in the center of God's will. You may have messed up. You may have sin in your life. If you'll come to God and say, God, I love you and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It'll be gone just like that. And you'll be forgiven. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, matter of fact, if you will, just stand with me. Maybe you're here this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're here this morning, you say, well, preacher, I don't know that I've ever been saved. I had a mom that took me to church. I had a mom that told me about Jesus, but I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know that I would go to heaven if I died. Would you just step out and come to this altar? Preacher, I don't know that I would go to heaven. Somebody will be here to pray with you and show you how to be saved. Preacher, I do not know that if I died right now that I would go to heaven. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I know without a doubt that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I remember the time that I asked him, but I'm not walking where I should be right now. And I really need to get in touch with God and say, God, I love you, and I'm sorry. As they sing this morning, God will never give up on you. Don't give up on